You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
International Desk
are go.
The Trump administration's crackdown on both tertiary education and immigration is creating an uncertain environment for students in the United States, particularly international students. The administration has both delayed and removed student visas, introduced travel bans, and detained students involved in pro-Palestine protests. It also comes as the administration has slashed research funding, rolled back protections for disadvantaged student groups, threatened lawsuits against colleges, dismantled the education department, and more. For International Desk, Y host Caden spoke to Yale Daily News' Andre Faorso about what it's like to be an international student in the United States right now. In a recent interview he did for The Guardian on the same issue, Faorso stated he was going to leave the United States as soon as he finished his degree. They started by asking what was motivating this.
I think definitely the current state of immigration in the US is a big determinant of that. But also I think the current culture and ongoing risks of being an immigrant in the United States have definitely been really big dissuading factors for me to find opportunities in the United States. Also, there has been a considerable shift in the positions of even employers in the US. So the job market for international students is going to become even more challenging because they now have to assess the additional cost or burden to hire an international student rather than to hire a domestic student, because there's a visa sponsorship and there's even smaller pathways to visa sponsorship nowadays too, or there's even discussions of that. Trump has, and people in his cabinet, have been discussing overturning certain bits of the immigration policy for F1 students, which is the undergraduate visa which I'm on, to pursue optional practical training, which is basically a job during breaks. And so there's that practical factor for me of like job security, and that is really shifting me to look elsewhere, particularly coming back to Aotearoa or going to Australia or even somewhere in Europe. But there's also that underlying cultural and like belonging factor, I think, too. I just can't deny the fact that, you know, I went through the US border 3 or 4 days ago. And I mean, it went, for all parts, it went totally fine. But there was that nervousness for, you know, on account of all the horror stories that I've read and that I'm pretty sure everyone in New Zealand has been familiar with, of a growing number of Kiwis that have been subject to scrutiny at the US border.
Is this sentiment something you were noticing amongst other international students?
Yeah, absolutely. I think international students that I've spoken to, but also, you know, in the other Guardian article, there were some Iranian international students which are interviewed that, you know, they can't even enter the United States. And in many respects, they feel like they're being turned away at the door, even though all they want to do is come and pursue an education and contribute to the United States. So it is scary. It is unfortunate, I think, especially for the United States from a cultural perspective and for university campuses, but then also to the United States economy, just because, you know, $44 billion is what recent estimates have found that international students contribute to the U.S. economy. And so this could be a significant loss if numbers go down in the way that they're anticipated to under the current immigration strategies. And yeah, international students that, you know, I've interacted with, there is a concern that their position in the US is jeopardized, and a lot have actually chosen not to speak out vocally and have actually decided to take those active steps to ensure that they can't be targeted for their political opinions or perspectives.
You've touched on this a little bit already, but there are stories of qualified international students who are not even getting their visas granted. Is this something you have seen or heard about?
It's something that I've seen and heard about in a distance, but I don't know or have not heard of any instances of that occurring at Yale. I know at other Ivy League colleges that has been an issue. I know Harvard and Dartmouth are two that I know of. There's even, in the case of Dartmouth, there was a Palestinian student who got admitted into the Dartmouth class of 2029. But because of the current bombardment in Gaza, he hasn't been able to secure a visa interview, let alone get an internet connection to get the interview or even to get the documents to apply for his visa. And so I think that's a pending case and ongoing, and there have been calls across the academic realm, not only in the Dartmouth students' instance, but for students belonging to travel ban countries, that it is a risk. I was in London for summer school, and there was a student that I met from Venezuela who studies in Florida. And she was telling me that because Venezuela is a country that has undergone Trump's travel restrictions, that she was advised not to leave the United States because of fear of not being able to re-enter. And that's a big consideration which international students have been asked to bring in when they decide to plan for travel in and out of the US, is whether they are willing to take the risk because it's not guaranteed whether they'd be able to get back in.
At the same time as all of this, the Trump administration is cutting funding from universities. Can you talk a bit about the impact of this?
Yeah, so on part of the Trump administration's attack on diversity, equity and inclusion, but then also freedom of academic thought, some people would object, the Trump administration has cut hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars to funding across universities, mainly publicly funded universities, but privately funded universities or private universities that secure government funding have not, dodged the bullet in that regard. Columbia University being one of the high profile cases, which had to actually succumb to the Trump administration's demands. Some of them included enacting or implementing stronger or more rigorous anti-Semitism policies off the back of the pro-Palestine encampments that took place on campuses across the United States last year. But then also to do with rhetoric and policies that existed in universities around diversity, equity and inclusion, which, universities have been asked or have been ahead of time rolling back all their rhetoric and all their wording on their websites and in their policies about diversity, equity and inclusion. And it is a really concerning shift. Even at Yale recently, the cultural houses and cultural groups came out and submitted an open letter to the university, citing concerns that the university, at least in Yale's instance, are not supporting minority communities on campus in the way they should be, in light of the Trump administration's rollback on funding, but then also the targeting of diversity, equity, and inclusion. So those are the two big things that the Trump administration is targeting. Also, the other concern is the rollback on medical research and funding and some of these big university medical schools and what that might mean for the frontier of medical research, which is, when RFK is talking about making America healthy again, but the defunding mRNA vaccine research, that's a big risk, especially in light of the COVID pandemic, which was only just 5 years ago.
As you say, some universities, like Columbia, are attempting to broker deals with the Trump administration to restore their funding. What has the reaction to this been from students?
There has been significant backlash, especially at some of the concessions that these universities have been willing to make. Some people would say that, universities as the likes of Harvard and Columbia have somewhat folded to the Trump administration's demands and at the cost of academic freedom, but then also freedom of speech. And so in terms of student backlash, that has been unequivocal and has been very strong. Whether universities have been receptive to those calls, obviously not, because they've been willing to concede to the Trump administration. But it really is a case of cost benefit when it comes to the mindset of universities. It's what can we do to secure the funding to ensure that we can continue operating as an institution? And so even in Yale's instance, it's been balancing that. And also universities have been very active in lobbying on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., to ensure that policymakers are voicing the concerns of academic institutions, but that also, the Trump administration is held accountable as much as possible on their attacks on institutions and what it means for academic thought or freedom of speech on university campuses. But then also even, regarding the international student community, which I'm a part of, are the safety of international students. Luckily, yeah, in Yale's instance, there's, since it is a private university, we have our own police on campus. We also have our own security. And so amidst the whole ICE risk, the university has said that they will not let ICE on campus. But that isn't the case for publicly funded universities. They often have to cooperate. Otherwise, they are subject to significant funding cuts. And that's been one big leverage point that the administration has been using since it came into power.
That was Andre Farr, also from the Yale Daily News, on the current experiences of international students in the United States, especially as the Trump administration targets universities for funding cuts.
International Desk on 95BFM.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.